When COVID-19 hit, the question was not only how would it affect us physically, but also how would it affect us emotionally? Dr. Kira Mouseth is co-lead for the Behavioral Health Strike Team for the Washington State Department of Health. She's been working on a forecast for how our behavioral health would change over time in Washington. Dr. Mouseth made a presentation of the forecast back in May and has been updating the forecast monthly. We recently talked to her to see if the forecast matched up with what actually happened over the summer, how it changed, and how resilience is important to getting through these challenging times. She starts by talking about behavior known as acting out versus acting in.
Acting out is outwardly expressing the sort of experience of turmoil that you have when you're in a disaster. So that could include more substance use, that could include the potential for aggression or hostility, and in some cases, illegal behavior. And acting in is the other end of the spectrum, which is shutting down, sort of voluntarily withdrawing and isolating even when you don't have to, not participating in stuff, a sense of emotional hopelessness, and just really that sense of shutting down and not engaging with either the process or sort of the world that's going on around you.
Would you consider some of the activity that went on during some of the social unrest, the protests, whatnot, would you consider those examples of acting out?
Not necessarily, no. The context of COVID facilitated people expressing themselves about issues that have existed and continue to exist long before COVID. So the social justice concerns that we saw people talking about and expressing their feelings about and continue to do so are layered on top of the disaster and the experience that is COVID, but they're not a function of it.
What did you expect to see going into October, November?
So October and November, we suspected would be part of what's called the disillusionment phase. And typically about 6 to 9 months post-impact from any type of disaster, regardless of the type, the 6 to 9 month window tends to be the worst. So we were anticipating that when the daylight savings happened, knowing that the election was coming up, knowing that the weather changes here and people do have seasonal affective disorder issues that they do struggle with, which is something that I see as a clinician anyway. So we were looking at all of those things occurring around the same time, in addition to the disillusionment phase as part of the disaster. And again, it's sort of a layering effect because there are certain things that would have been an issue anyway, and usually are an issue. And then you put the disaster on top of it and it tends to exacerbate those underlying things. So we were expecting more depression. We were expecting a little bit more anxiety. We were expecting higher levels of stress, exhaustion, sort of cognitive fatigue. And a lot of those things are exactly what we're seeing now.
So we've seen an increase in depression. Mm-hmm. Have we seen an increase in the suicide rate?
It's been up and down, but yes. I mean, in Washington State, the things that we're really concerned about in terms of depression and keeping an eye on are young adults and youth. We're seeing some alarming numbers with related to the percentage of the people in those groups who are reporting really serious concerns about depression. And that's just something that we're kind of monitoring. But suicide awareness and making people aware of the risk during this time is definitely part of the work of our team. And it is a big consideration. We know that there's a direct relationship between unemployment and suicide. And so getting, you know, resources in place and getting help and support available to people who need it is even more essential at this time.
So as we head towards 2021, what are you sort of predicting going into the new year? Is there a phase that we can expect or something that we can expect, especially with news of vaccine on the horizon? Will that change things at all?
We don't know how big this current spike, this current wave of infection is going to be. Depending on how big it is and how influential it is over our experience in living in the pandemic and our healthcare resources and the economy and all of those things, it could result in what's called a disaster cascade. If we get hit with another impact or a secondary sort of a disaster, which is a disaster cascade within that recovery timeframe of the first disaster, what ends up happening is that it basically sets us back. So it's not that we won't recover and it's not that people won't be resilient because they in fact will, but it takes a little bit more time for things to get there. So people are likely to experience some pretty difficult emotional ups and downs throughout the next few months, regardless of really how high this second, or I guess it would be a third wave or a spike that we're seeing now. With the vaccine on the horizon, that is certainly something to give people hope. But it's going to take more than just that. It does take effort on all of our parts to continue to engage in public health recommendations for safety with COVID, because a vaccine isn't just the one-all cure for this thing. But it's going to take an emotional sort of reckoning with what life is going to be like post-COVID also.
So what are some of the best things that we can do for our behavioral health right now?
The ingredients for resilience are purpose, connection, and flexibility and adaptability, and hope. So intentionally working on those things in your life is how you get there. You can focus on purpose by basically by changing the scope of your expectations. So motivation and purpose, like what drives you, what motivates you, what gets you going. Think smaller scale, think shorter term. Allow yourself to experience success. So rather than thinking about what's going to happen in January, think about what you want to accomplish this week and by the end of next week. And just take it in small bite-sized chunks to get some experiences of success and control. And as far as connection goes, connection can be anything, and it's very different for different people. So that's anything that prevents us from being isolated. Connection can be to pets or a higher power. It can be to a social justice cause that you care about. It can be to a family member or a friend. It's really anything that keeps us from being isolated, and it can be intentionally grown. Flexibility and adaptability is probably the hardest one for people. We just don't like change, as I was mentioning. And that can be sort of facilitated by recognizing when you are just sticking to things the way that they are, just like it just has to be this way, even if it doesn't really, and looking for opportunities to adapt, whether that's your schedule with work, whether that's juggling homeschooling, whether that's, you know, what you're having for dinner tonight. How can you be flexible? How can you adapt to the changing conditions? Because if you can learn how to do that, it will definitely feel better. And then the last one is hope. And hope is a little bit harder to pin down. It's not the same thing as optimism, but I would encourage people to think about hope as looking for opportunity. There's a lot of opportunities that have been lost because of COVID, but there are also opportunities for things to be different in a good way. And hope, in my mind at least, is akin to looking for opportunities that exist now that may not have before. So if you can work on those four ingredients of resilience, it's definitely going to help the experience of the next few months.